Welcome to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette, brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and historian. This edition of Local Voices airs every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. and focuses on a glance back at the music and history of World War II as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you again for tuning in to this special edition, A Glance Back, here on Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP.
Sure, a little bit of heaven fell from out the sky one day and nestled on the ocean in a spot so far away. And when the angels found it, sure it looked so sweet and fair. They said, suppose we leave it, for it looks so peaceful there. So they sprinkled it with stardust just to make the shamrocks grow. 'Tis the only place you'll find them, no matter where you go. Then they dotted it with silver to make its lake so grand. And when they had it finished, sure they called it an island.
And it's heavenly, for forgive me for wanting you so. But one thing I want you to know, I've loved you since heaven knows when. There, I said it
the good old days when the world came together to fight for the good of all. This is Local Voices with historian Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
A lady known as Paris, romantic, charming, has left her old companions and faded from view. Lonely men with lonely eyes are seeking her in vain. Her streets are where they were, but there's no sign of her. She has left the same. The last time I saw Paris, her heart was warm and gay. I heard the laughter of her heart in every street cafe. The last time I saw Paris, her trees were dressed for spring, and lovers walked beneath those trees, and birds found songs to sing. I dodged the same old taxi cabs that I had dodged for years. The chorus of their squeaky horns was music to my ears. The last time I saw Paris, her heart was warm and gay. No matter how they change her, I'll remember her that way. The last time I saw Paris, her heart was warm and gay. I heard the laughter of her heart in every street cafe. The last time I saw Paris, her trees were dressed for spring, and lovers walked beneath those trees, and birds found songs to sing. I dodged the same old taxi cabs that I had dodged for years. The chorus of their squeaky horns was music to my ears. The last time I saw Paris, her heart was warm and gay. No matter how they change her, I'll remember her.
are listening to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP. Now, our local historian, Jim Steele, will take us back to the age of World War II.
This is KPIP Radio, 94.7 FM. And today, we again welcome you to Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Jim Steele reporting under the sponsorship of the Boonslick Historical Society. Well, as you may recall from last week, we initiated a new series which examines how Howard County's transportation evolved over the years, from riverboats to stagecoaches to trains and eventually highways. Initially, we talked about the steamboats on the Missouri River, which brought goods and early settlers to the state, in addition to the involvement of trails allowing transportation eventually by stagecoach. But in the years preceding the Civil War, Howard County residents were agitating for a rail line. Unfortunately, several missteps caused Fayette and other locales to lose at least two opportunities for a railroad by reason of a short-sighted policy that would hold fast and make no concessions. Eventually, this left Fulton, Columbia, and Fayette without any rail facilities for many years. But soon, the Missouri, Kansas, and Texas Railroad, MKT, came along, as we saw it, better known as the MKT, and that's what we're going to pick up. County officials had subscribed earlier to $350,000 in bonds to what was called the Louisiana and Missouri River Railroad, and they also issued $400,000 in bonds to the Thibault and Neosho Railroad, which was later absorbed by a larger enterprise extending through Sedalia, Houdinson, Texas. And again, that was known as the MKT. Levi Parsons, then chief executive officer of the MKT, had visions of extending his railroad from Sedalia to Chicago. For that reason, became interested in the line between Boonville and Moberly, which of course came through Fayette, that would connect then with the North Missouri Railroad, later the Wabash. That connection would take place at Moberly and then on to St. Louis. Later, he expected to push through to Hannibal and connect with the Toledo, Wabash, and Western Railroad, and then on up to Quincy, Illinois, to meet the CB and Q, and on to Chicago. This line was designed to break the stranglehold held by the Missouri Pacific, which was breaking all connections with the Katy trains and canceling all traffic agreements with the Katy at Sedalia in order to strangle the Katy at that point. A contract then was closed to build the line, in addition to a $1 million bridge across the Missouri River between Boonville and Franklin within at least 18 months. The very threat of the Katy building a connection with the North Missouri Railroad at Moberly would, they said, provide a road of terror to hold over the heads of the Missouri Pacific. Now they would not dare to slam the Sedalia Gateway shut. On May 18, 1873, the end of track reached Boonville. In the meantime, grading had been completed and track laying commenced in May on the north side of the river in Howard County. Construction was started at both ends at the same time. The 10-mile stretch from Moberly to Higbee was finished on May 15th of 1873, and the stretch north of the river through Franklin was completed about the same time. The two crews met at Fayette on June 20th, 1873. Incidentally, a cholera epidemic broke out here and then raged throughout the summer. This misfortune was charged to the Katy Railroad, but history records no true cause of the outbreak. A big celebration to mark the completion of the northeastern extension of the Katy was held at Boonville on July the 4th. Now, the line was still minus a bridge over the river, but cars were ferried across the river until the structure was completed. The first Katy train crossing on the bridge took place on January 10th, 1874. Now, one might expect that with the completion of the railroad through Fayette and Howard County, the region was at the peak of its progress. Despite these evidences of progress, and although the county had been around for some 50 years, it still carried the marks of the frontier. Central Missouri, indeed, was still open country and still the land of opportunity. The Katy then served Fayette until the mid-1970s. Now, the next time you happen to be at the CNR grocery, glance across Highway 240 at Church Street from the store's parking lot, and you'll see Dollar General. This was the site, Fayette Station, for the Katy stood from 1898 until being raised in 1979. An earlier station had burned in 1897. It might be noted that ultimately the route running through Howard County and beyond did not pan out as expected financially, and later it became, in essence, a secondary line. Meanwhile, the Katy's financial backers concluded that more profit could be had by routing train traffic through St. Louis. construction of a main line across Missouri running east from St. Charles was completed 20 years later. That was in 1893. It ran across the north bank of the Missouri River until crossing at Boonville and proceeding on to Sedalia, eventually continuing to Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Most of that 1893 riverside trackage that existed within Missouri evolved many years later, as you know, into our beloved Katy Trail, a development that came about following the MKT's decline in the 1980s and eventually its absorption by the Union Pacific in 1988. But at this point, the hiking and biking path was more than 100 years in the future. The coming of the railroad to Howard County in 1873 proved a boom for both Fayette and the two institutions of higher learning, Central College, now Central Methodist University, and Howard Payne College, a two-year junior college for women, which merged with Central in the mid-1920s. Students in those bygone days rarely had the option of going home for weekends or even holidays, except maybe for Christmas, and maybe not even then. When they did travel, it virtually always was by train. In the Katy's heyday, up to 6 trains a day came through Fayette, 3 north and 3 south. Much of the city's growth took place in the years following the Katy's arrival, and the town square in Fayette took on much of the appearance it has today. Residents seeking a larger shopping venue during that era, before the mid-1920s, rarely went to Columbia. They took the train to Moberly. And by the 1960s, however, the rails from Franklin to Moberly on through Fayette were not in the best of condition. And by that time, it was only an occasional freight that would traverse the route very slowly, perhaps once or twice a week as needed. Nonetheless, poor track conditions didn't stop some enterprising, albeit trespassing, Central Methodist students from doing a bit of joy riding in a track car on a warm spring night. Following is the description of one notable event from May 15, 1965, as described by then Fayette newspaper editor John Hurt. "Listen, my children, you shall hear of the midnight ride that happened here. On the 15th of May in 65, fortunately for all, are still alive. The sheriff was there to spread the alarm. The students were coming through fence and farm. 4 on a handcar, none by sea, and you on the opposite track shall be." The article goes on to note the midnight ride Friday on the railroad tracks is scheduled to stop in Magistrate Court in Fayette this afternoon. 4 students who reportedly took a motorized work car from the MKT yards at Franklin and ran it along the tracks have a date to appear in court today to answer charges of trespassing on railroad property. 3 of the 4 were injured when they jumped from the moving car after they'd been spotlighted by a highway patrolman who had been alerted by Howard County Sheriff Delger Wells. They were patients in Keller Hospital until Sunday, it happened on Saturday night, when they were all released and all eventually were getting along satisfactorily. Sheriff Wells reported that about 1:30 a.m. Saturday, he was driving to Fayette on Highway 240, and he observed the railroad work car going south toward New Franklin. He radioed the Missouri State Highway Patrol, and in response, Trooper David Terhune set up an intercepting position on the Highway 5 rail crossing at Estill. When the railroad unit came into view, the trooper turned on his spotlight and his red flashing light. Robert Bovin of Webster Groves and E.C. Walker of Maryville, students at Central, and George Payne of St. Louis, a student at the University of Missouri, were injured. The 4th student, name was Howard Locke of St. Anne, a freshman, no less, who attended Central, stayed with the car and stopped it. The boys had taken the work car from Fayette to Franklin and were starting back when they were discovered. Later, the students received relatively light fines in the Magistrate Court of Mira Funk. They also were disciplined by the college, however school officials refused to indicate in what way. Returning to more substantive matters, most observers agree that Central Methodist University would not have continued to exist and grow if it hadn't been for rail service coming to Fayette, even though train travel today is but a distant memory, at least in this area. But the trains did encompass a most colorful era in local history, with the railroad depot being the city's lifeblood in days gone by. As noted, the coming of the railroad to Howard County in 1873 proved a boon for both Fayette and its two institutions of higher learning. Train service opened up many new avenues of commerce in Howard County, and occasional specials transported students and townspeople, football games and other events, in addition to extra trains assigned to bring in students for the arrival of a new school year. There were also special trains taking folks to the State Fair in Sedalia, and specials transporting Missouri National Guard Company soldiers to summer maneuvers. From Fayette, students, salesmen often were called drummers, and local residents could board the train southbound and connect with the Katy's main east-west line at Franklin, or go north to Moberly to connect with the Wabash. Those who went south from Fayette also could proceed across the Missouri River at Moonville and continue on to Sedalia, and then to points in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, ultimately reaching Galveston on the Gulf Coast. Passengers arriving in Fayette were transported from the station to the town and to the square on Main Street via depot hacks. First, they were horse-drawn and later motorized. Guests often checked in at the venerable Hotel Howard at the southwest corner of Morrison and Church. The building was raised in 1981 and to make way for the Exchange National Bank. And we'll tell more about how train travel impacted this area in next week's broadcast of KPIP's Local Voices. A glance back, I'm Jim Steele reporting.
That was our glance back in time with Jim Steele, president of the Boonslick Historical Society. This series with Jim Steele will continue every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. during Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
Mother dear, I'm writing you from somewhere in France, hoping this finds you well. Sergeant says I'm doing fine, a soldier and a half. Here's a song that we'll all sing, it'll make you laugh.
We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Have you any dirty washing, mother dear? We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line, 'cause the washing day is here. Whether the weather may be wet or fine, we'll just rub along without a care. We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line, if the Siegfried line's still there. We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Have you any dirty washing, mother dear? We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line, 'cause the washing day is here. Whether the weather may be wet or fine, we'll just rub along without a care. We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line, if the Siegfried line's still there.
Everybody's mucking in and doing their job, wearing a great big smile.
Everybody's got to keep their spirits up today. If you want to keep in swing, here's a song to sing. We're going to hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Have you any dirty washing, mother dear? We're going to hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Why? Because the washing day is here. Now, whether the weather may be wet or fine, well, we'll just rub along without a care. We're going to hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Well, if the Siegfried line's still there.
Telephone. You had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it there anymore. This is the Army, Mr. Green. We like the barracks nice and clean. You had a housemaid to clean your floor, but she won't help you out anymore. Do what the buglers command. They're in the army and not in the band. This is the army, Mr. Brown. You and your baby went to town. She had you worried, but this is war, and she won't worry you anymore.
This is the army, Mr. Jones. No private rooms or telephone. You had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it there anymore. This is the army, Mr. Green. We like the barracks nice and clean. You had a housemaid to clean your floor, but she won't help you out.
Taking a step back in time with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Boss, but they wouldn't do,
for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still.
It had to be you, wonderful you.
Now it's time to take a look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back. In 1614, Pocahontas marries English colonist John Rolfe. In 1789, the first U.S. Congress begins its regular sessions at Federal Hall in New York City. In 1792, President George Washington casts the first presidential veto. Fast forward to 1917, the United States declares war on Germany and enters World War I on the Allied side. In 1924, four planes leave Seattle on the first successful flight around the world. In 1930, Mahatma Gandhi defies British law by making salt in India instead of buying it from the British. In 1935, the Works Progress Administration, WPA, is approved by Congress. They later go on to build the swimming pool in Fayette. In 1938, the United States recognizes Nazi Germany's conquest of Austria. In 1940, Germany invades Norway and Denmark. In 1941, German forces invade Greece and Yugoslavia. Also in 1941, German commandos secure docks along the Danube River in preparation for Germany's invasion of the Balkans. Again in 1941, German bombers blitz Coventry in England. In 1942, the Soviets open a rail link to the besieged city of Leningrad. In 1945, after two frustrating days of being repulsed and absorbing tremendous casualties, the Red Army finally takes the Silo Heights north of Berlin during World War II. In 1950, comedian Bob Hope makes his first television appearance. A year later, in 1951, President Truman fires General Douglas MacArthur as head of UN forces in Korea. Also in 1951, Americans Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are sentenced to death for espionage. In 1952, President Truman orders the seizure of U.S. steel mills to prevent a strike. And in 1955, Sir Winston Churchill resigns his second administration as British Prime Minister. In 1961, Israel begins the trial of Adolf Eichmann, accused of war crimes during World War II. Tune in next week for another look at the events that shaped the country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back.
Thanks to the Boonslick Historical Society for bringing us this historical content on Local Voices with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
order cocktails for two instead of the usual one. Then after dark, in a hansom through the park, while reminiscing, I'll be kissing you. A lot of folks may think that I'm crazy. Well, maybe they're right, but I'm stepping out with a memory tonight.
For a treat, to freshen taste and keep breath sweet, get double smoothness, flavor too. Get the gum that's double good to chew.
Double your pleasure, double your fun with double mint gum.
From San Francisco comes
Rice Aroni, the San Francisco treat. Rice Aroni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
The flavor that is sure to please.
Rice Aroni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice Aroni, the delicious break from potatoes, now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
The flavor that is sure to please.
Rice Aroni, the San Francisco treat.
This edition of Local Voices is brought to you by Jim Steele, president of the Boonslick Historical Society, and from donations from listeners like you.
Stretched out on a long white table, so cold, so sweet, so fair. Let her go, God bless her. Wherever she may be, she can look this wide world over. She'll never find another sweet man like me. Though she treated me mean and low down, somehow I didn't care. For the Lord knows she was a good girl, and I'll see her again up there. Now when I die, I want you to bury me in Edmund Clapp's shoes. A box back suit and a Stetson hat. Put a $20 gold piece on my watch chain, so the boys will know I died standing pat.
Thank you. the table's on me. I can't believe that it's true. I always thought when you brought the lovely presents you bought, why hadn't you brought me more? But now if you'd come, I'd welcome anything from 5 and 10 cent store. You used to call me the top. You put me up on a throne. You let me fall with a drop. And now I'm out on my own. But after thinking it over and over, I got what was coming to me. Just like the sting of a bee, you turn the tables on me.
Taking you back to the world of the greatest generation on 94.7 KPIP.
Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles.